January 11, 2002. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
off as strictly upper class. Hey, oh, hey, 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 oh, yeah. Oh, hey, 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 oh, yeah. Oh, hey, oh, hey, 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 oh, yeah. Revolutionary style. Department store, you might care to loot.
All right, Watt from Pedro Show, January 11, 2002, our first show, Brother Matt, that we start off in this year, huh?
Yeah, yeah, full deal. Last time we had a little baby half one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was halfway through. We started on the 31st, ended up on the 1st. I have a special guest in the... Love Grotto at the Pleasure Point here in Pedro, Wild Kingdom Radio, Mr. Steve Perkins.
Hey, how are you? Hey, I wanted to say it's great to be here. I love the view. And it was quite an eye-opener to drive down that little circle area and see some people hanging out by the beach.
Yeah, it's sweet when you swoop down that final little hill down.
It's gorgeous. It felt really good to breathe some good air.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Watt, for having me.
Oh, no problem. We started off, of course, as I do with every show, some John Coltrane, 1961 Village Vanguard stuff. Softly as in a morning sunrise. And then we just heard some No Mercy from the late 70s with Revolutionary Spy, a great San Francisco band. Steve's gonna give us a little drum thing, live stuff, but he also brought some music he wants to play too. So after some Watt chosen tunage, we'll get on over to Mr. Perk's ears, eye view.
And yeah, I noticed we got a...
What's this?
We have a nice hand drum, a frame drum.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
And we got that other one. What's that one called?
Little Irish Spring?
Yeah, this is actually the stick they use traditionally on a frame drum, but I'm not too familiar how to use the stick.
No, but the...
Oh, the talking drum.
Oh, talking drum.
Yeah. This is one of my
favorite African drums. You probably have seen one at home. It's the drum with the strings from one head to the other head strung across, and you can squeeze it to make higher or lower sounds. This one's actually got, it's real sensitive, but it's got some good notes to it. They're real quiet. So, you don't really want to compete with other instruments with this one too much.
You got a little whacker here, too, if you want.
Yeah. The stick is actually bent. It looks like a normal stick until it gets to the tip, and then it bends into an angle. Interesting, huh?
True.
I saw someone once have one in each armpit and one between his legs. And it was a great
little parallel process.
Yeah, a little cacophony of talking drum.
So what's the background on that type of thing?
Well, I mean, most of the drums that come out of Africa started with, animal skin and some kind of log, string it together. And I find most of the drums that I have at my house, hand percussion, are mostly African descent. A lot of the stuff I have is, Latin. But most of the drums you see, hand drums, usually start in Africa. Djembes, the shape of a dumbek, which ended up in Egypt, started in Africa, that shape. The talking drum, something they call the tongue drum or the slit drum. It's a piece of wood with little slits in it with different notes, yeah. African xylophone, all these instruments come out of Africa. And in the beginning, they used to use them to help communicate with each other. So if you saw some kind of big storm coming, you would send a big drum sound to another tribe. That meant, beware, here comes a storm. Or if they saw a buffalo. And it's actually a talking drum, I guess. There's the name. They were talking to each other with it. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. You start talking about something and just have to start dancing then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've seen those African dancers that just jump up and down together.
Yeah, well, they're probably playing the earth drum.
Yeah, and also, it's right, they're playing the earth and they're the stick. But is it the antelope that jumps like that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think they're probably imitating animals.
Caribou.
Yeah, that they hunt. And drums maybe to help bring some luck to help hunt them.
That's probably the first music.
Yeah.
You know how music and dancing tied real close. I'm going to play some stuff from Louisiana here. Here's a song called They're Both Junkies. Good thing they're both junkies.
Good thing.
They'll last forever that way.
She is on K4. She's on Special K. He'll drink from the toilet, chili out of the ash tray. She says, why can't they just accept our desire? Baby, you're preaching to the choir, so just inject my love to bring calm to the fire. And me, your need is justified. Good thing they're both junkies. They can entertain themselves. If they weren't both always in heaven together, one might see the other was in hell. That's okay, 'cause daddy writes checks. Daddy even pays all their rent. Daddy bed. She's too high to open the door, but hell, she laughs when in the morning. The bathroom has become the hallway floor. She says, I just want to save the world, clothe the blind, feed the deaf, and let's recycle, cut down on CFCs, and let's give all we have to those who have nothing left. It's a good thing that they're both junkies. Left them to loot themselves. If they weren't both on or in ecstasy together all of the time, one might see the other was not twice sublime. That's okay, cause Daddy Rice checks. Not sure why they are always in heaven, but their money or their son is
Watt from Pedro show. That was some Hundred Flowers with I Don't Own My Own Heart. Before that was the Ecstasy Boys with Day in the Life, a tribute to Psych TV compilation tribute record that's off of. And we started off with a Louisiana band called the Mid Bang Lounge. It's a good thing they're both junkies. At the Love Grotto here, we got special guest Mr. Stephen Perkins. And, of course, Brother Matt, assistant
right on.
With the vitals.
You know, they're both junkies. They'll probably last forever then, won't they?
As long as Dad pays the rent.
That's true. I was hearing that in the lyrics.
You pick some music here. Tell us about what...
Yeah, I brought a track. I remember flipping through this TV station that has those Indian musical movies, and I flipped on one of these movies. It's this great scene of these two women competing for the love of a pirate, and the music was just a combination of Indian pop with these incredible drum patterns and drum solos, and the two ladies feuding with their voices. I have no idea what they're saying, but it's a great feud. And I took down the name of the movie and went and found it on CD, and it's really a nice piece with a feel of pirate feud with drum, tabla drum solos everywhere. Check it out.
Watt from Pedro show.
This is Charles Bukowski with a few poems written by the same. Let's try the first one. Prayer for Broken-Handed Lovers. Endwarfed in towering rage, in ambulances of hate, stamping out the ants, stamping out the sleepless ants forevermore. Pray for my horses, do not pray for me. Pray for the fenders of my car. Pray for the carbon on the filaments of my brain. Exactly. And listen, I do not need any more love, any more wet stockings like legs of death crawling my face in a midnight's bathroom. Make me sightless of blood and wisdom and despair. Don't let me see the drying carnation pinking out against my time, buttonholed and rootless as the tombs of memory. Well, I've been bombed out of better places than this. I've had the sherry shaken out of my hand. I've seen the teeth of the piano move, filled with explosions of rot. I've seen rats in the fireplace leaping like rockets through the flames. Pray for Germany. Pray for France. Pray for Russia. Do not pray for me. And yet I can see again the crossing of the lovely legs. Oh, more sherry and more disappointment, more bombs. Surging seas of bombs. My paintings flying like birds amongst the earrings and bottles, amongst the red lips, amongst the love letters and the last piano. I will cry that I was right.
Yeah.
Watt from Pedro show. Some big black there. You picked that perk.
I love that stuff. I remember Jane's Addiction did a show with them in San Francisco. There goes the Harley guys. We did a show in San Francisco, big black. And I didn't know they didn't have a drummer.
Well, they do, but it's a machine.
Yeah, you know. Because I listen to the music and I show up at the show and there's just three guys up there with a little machine on the floor they step on it to start the drums.
What town?
That was in San Francisco. I think it was called the Kennel Club.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that place?
Yeah, it was called the VIS Club before that. Across, it's on Divisadero.
Yeah.
Down the street was the Church of St. John Coltrane. And across street was this, still the best rib place I've ever chowed at. And I've chowed at them all over all the tours, you know. It's called Brother-in-Law's Number 2.
That's right.
And then there's some down ribs there. Now the...
Baby back.
Yeah, the Church of John... St. John Coltrane's on Hunter's Point. It's no longer there. So you have to... You can go down 3rd Street from 3Com Park, where the Giants now play, to Candlestick. And it goes through Hunter Park. That's how I found out.
Oh, really?
Peddling. Well, I do a lot of things on peddling now.
That's cool.
My opera I wrote. My new one I wrote.
When you're peddling?
Yeah. I write when I'm peddling. Because... I don't know. I mean, you have to be aware so you don't get your ass run over, but there's something about the natural rhythms. And instead of sitting there with the machine in your hand and neck math and all this, you just let the music comes to me in the head, and then I bring it to the machine. I'm going to be recording that soon. It's called the Second Man's Middle Stamp. It's the organ drum bass.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is this the third?
But you've been doing some recording.
This is true, but one question. Is that the third Watt record or the fourth? The Watt solo project.
You know, I'm only a bass player, so I'm always playing with people.
That's true.
So it's never really
solo. Is this the third or the fourth on Sony?
Columbia.
No,
you can say Sony. I don't, if you count the Fire Hose.
Oh, okay.
Because there was 3 Fire Hose records. So it'll be my 6th one. But you've been doing recording.
That's right.
You're my guest.
The new Banyan.
This show ain't just about...
I have some questions.
Badge buff on why.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true. The group Banyan, which consists of you, Mr. Mike Watt, Nels Klein, Willie Waldman on trumpet, and Norton Wisdom supplies the visuals.
Yeah, it's righteous touch.
Yeah, I love Norton. And I met Norton through Nels. But we've been working on this music that we've been playing for the last year in a live situation, it's never been on a CD. So we're getting everything down to onto hard drive. We don't even do it with the tape anymore. We're going right to the computer.
There's 2 Banyan records out, but then you sell them at the gigs when we're done playing, and there's only like 2 songs.
That's true.
Play. Go home and they listen to it and like nothing of the gigs.
Yeah, they don't recognize one tune. Is this the same group? The first record doesn't even have trumpet, which is great. It's got Money Mark, a wonderful record.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so the new I'm not sure what we're going to call it right now. It's Banyan Part 3. It's being recorded at my house, which is a lot of fun. It makes it real easy. Got a studio in the backyard, and it's a pretty simple situation. And it's great because Banyan is a type of band where I just want to capture a performance, and each performance sounds a lot different than the other. I just want to capture one or two of them. And put that out, and obviously the next time we do it, it's going to sound different, but Banyan seems to be a living organism that way.
Yeah.
I like that.
We've done, what? You've listened to it.
Oh,
I haven't got to listen to it yet. How many tunes?
We did eight tunes and 2 or 3 takes of each of them, and I've got my heart set on a few of the takes.
Oh, cool.
And I'm working with Willie, the trumpet player. We're coming up some real...
He's nice, got a tune, right? He wants us to do.
He's bringing a tune, and...
Nels has got a tune.
That's right. We got some new stuff that I haven't even heard yet that's coming out. So
I got a waltz.
That's right. I'm excited, too.
Yeah.
As a drummer, actually, it's great to play a waltz. It feels real cool. You know, it does. A lot of drummers, you know, have that chance to play either reggae or punk or jazz, but to do it all, you know, is a great challenge. It'd be great to see a classical guitar player with fingernails be able to break out a heavy metal guitar riff. You probably couldn't.
Ralph Macchio and Crossroads.
I wrote a tune for us last time, and like a minor key kind of thing.
For E and E minor.
Right, right.
I've been listening to that. Actually, I'm starting to really like that song. Thank you so much. Yeah. We did a great job on, you know, learning it and performing it all in the same day. And you know, obviously, the more you learn things and the more you play them, the better they're going to sound. Maybe a different performance, you know, later on would sound a lot different, but it's a great raw.
Who's helping us out? Who's on the knobs?
A guy named Josh Newell, who is from New Orleans.
Oh, cool.
No, not New Orleans. He's from, where's he from? Oh, he's from Nashville.
Okay, he's from Nashville. And the other cat, the big guy?
Mike Zarp.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Mark, you know, because notes are very important when you're recording. You got to make sure someone's taking notes.
Document.
Yeah, you got to document, you know, documentation is number one in the studio, because if you're not sure who did what and what take, it's bad. So Mike Zarp's taking care of that for us, which is nice.
First band you record had four cats doing the whole thing. This record's got four cats.
That's right.
Second record, much different.
Yeah, we had about 15 or 18 players. my idea at that point was to take some of the people that I knew, and I just met Willie Waldman, the trumpet player, and Dave Aaron, who was at the Knobs at the time.
Clarinet.
And they wanted to bring, he played some clarinet. They wanted to bring some of their friends from Memphis and other cats that they knew. So I kind of brought my L.A.-based crew and met their crew, and that was Banyan Part 2. And it's quite a combination of people that probably would never get back together, you know, unless...
That's what's cool about records, though, because it can capture moments.
It is true. And actually, I got inspired by the Ball Hog, Ball Hogger Tugboat record.
Wrestling record.
Yeah.
Okay.
How you had different people on different songs, and I thought that was a cool... I mean, you listen to that record...
17 different bands.
Yeah, I mean, you listen to that record, you got so many different flavors. So that was an inspiration as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Can't always do wrestling records, though. So.
No, it's good to have
to the core.
It's good to have the core, and you know, I'm blessed with Nels.
We got some gigs coming up, right?
We're playing on the 8th of February at Di Piazza's.
And then a little thing, a little tour of sort.
We will be at the Olympics for sure.
Utah.
Cool.
Utah.
Some Sundance.
10th, 11th, and 12th, 13th. And your friend Don Dalton's helping out, which I'm really liking. He's a nice guy. Really liking work with him. And there's also other shows booked in Wyoming and Colorado, and we're making those. We're going to confirm those this week to make sure everything's
so a little
green light.
Banyan Winter Tour.
It's exciting.
In the Rocky Mountains.
We're going to have to bring our you know, our little earmuffs and our mittens.
That's cool. You guys did that last year, right? Regular.
That's right.
Yeah.
They love us out there.
That's cool.
Before Big Black, we played Slater Kinney, the drama you've been craving, and a guy who's buried here in Pedro now, Charles Bukowski, the poet. He read, what was the name of that one? I already spaced on it.
It was so
but it was
cool,
a good
Hank.
One.
Yeah, well, we liked
cool
it.
Hank poems.
Shit, I forgot to write down the title. Something about... No more love poems or
and
something.
Being drunk.
waking up having a drink.
And then we started off with Choli K. Piche from Subhash Guy.
It was the Indian movie Indian soundtrack. Movie.
Yeah, right.
How'd
right.
you enjoy that up there? Yeah. I thought
it was
fun.
Cool.
We like to hear it.
I love pirate music.
Exactly.
Now we got here, Perky picks the next tune, huh?
Yeah. We're gonna
drummer
go with
from the 50s.
We're going to go with a little Max Roach. Great inspiration for me as a drummer and someone who understands rhythm and also understands how to pick people to play with to create a beautiful sound. Max Roach.
Yeah, you know, I saw him summer before last. I think he was 80. He was playing with Cecil Taylor outside on some stairs.
It's great.
Columbia. It was in New York City.
You
and
see,
I was
Elvin.
Just getting well from that sickness, and I, you know, you get to feel sorry for yourself. You're in the bed all the time, and I couldn't play anymore. I had to start over almost, you know. And then you see this old cat up there playing like every moment and smiling and happy.
Yeah.
And giving the go. Like you've seen Elvin. In fact, you gave me a poster.
Elvin's, that's right. I met Elvin at a big drum, it was called Drum Day. And it was a big drum.
Where was it at?
It was in Columbia. Columbia.
Where, Missouri?
It was in, where the heck was that?
I don't know. But I got the poster hanging in my practice pad.
I can't recall, but
I think he was turning 70.
Yeah, I just met Elvin. He was turning 70, and he had hands like leather. I shook his hand, and I got a poster for you, Watt, and I'll never forget that. He had a great smile, and he played amazing. And his wife is his drum tech, Kiko.
Yeah.
His wife sets up the drums, tunes them, settles the money.
That is hard.
Cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Truly.
And she's a tough cookie, man. Everyone's scared of her.
I'm into that.
It was cool.
Okay, so Max Moroch, Watt for Pedro show. Sorry about that. We have an error with the CD player here. Or the mat. Too many Burning Man gigs, I guess. And God damn. Maybe I got to load it up again, huh?
Is it the little lines go?
The lines get went.
From sitting too long. Yeah, just kick it out and spit it back.
Okay, here we go. Watch for Pedro show. Watt from Pedro Show, end of the first hour, January 11, 2002. Sorry, Max, we had mistimed it there, and but we're going to pick up on the second hour. Brother Matt, my special guest. Wow, look, the elephant has a swastika. I guess it's the other way, though.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on for hour two. January 11, 2002. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Stay away from high school guys.
From Pedro Show. That was the English Soft Hearts with Genital Herpes from their album called Blue Oyster Quilt. They got a, I don't know what it has to do with BOC, but they all three of them are laying up against the wall with the quilt with the BOC sign.
It's kind of like the Kids Are Alright meets Blue Oyster Quilt.
Yeah. Now, that sign was really heavy. Well, instead of the dot in the middle, it's got a heart, though.
Yes. Yeah,
that sign was really heavy when I was first going to high school. That BOC wasn't very well known, and I spray painted that on the back of a T-shirt. And only one at school with it, so it was very unique. I didn't have punk rock.
No.
Didn't come until I graduated. So.
The name Blue Oyster Cult was kind of dark and threatening, but when you meet the guys and you think about the name actually now...
Oh, yeah. Well, a couple of them are good friends of mine.
That's right.
Every time
they're Leaper.
Yep.
Oh, that's it.
Sounds of Pedro here. That's what you get at the Pleasure Point.
Land them.
Right. So, and we started the second hour off with Rocky Erickson, If You Have Ghosts. Perk,
yeah.
You picked the next song. You want to tell us something about it?
Flaming Lips.
Oklahoma City band.
Nice fellas. I really like those guys. And this song, A Spoonful Weighs a Ton, me and my wife Cindy listened to it. And that's a beautiful song. It's a great piece of music. Being drunk
swung. The privilege had been won. Being drunk on their plan, they lifted up the sails.
All right, some Flaming Lips. Now, we got a special edition of the Spin Cycle, this show. Perk's going to join Brother Matt with some melding of... Nah, you just got to keep it there, bro. With the melding of machine and flesh. Or fingertips.
That's right, the marriage of acoustic and electric.
Do it up.
No
All right, thank you very much. Perk, Brother Matt.
Thank you.
That was a first for me.
Another installment of Brother Matt's Spin Cycle. Here's some Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah.
side. Well, the war side. Prepare to my side. But if you ask her where she's gone, try to banter.
From Pedro Show. Here we are, Wild Kingdom Radio, live from the Love Grotto on Pleasure Point in Pedro. Special guest, Mr. Steve Perkins. Thank you so much for that live jam with Brother Matt. Spin cycle there, Perk.
That was fun. I got to play the assorted hand drums around the house, and we kicked out the jams on those. I like that.
That was cool.
It was interesting because the volume in the house here was so quiet. Get my fingers real quiet. It's hard to play drums quietly, you know. It's a challenge. So that was great. That was great.
And then we came out of the spin with some Curtis Mayfield with You Are, You Are.
Soul.
You could probably tell it was vinyl, huh? A little scratchy scratch. Lots of records have had a lot of chow dumped on them. You can tell. Then we went to Jesus Lizard right there with Gladiator, something live from Holland, the FNAR. You've probably played there, Perk.
Yes.
Right.
Actually, Martijn, our friend, is in Amsterdam now visiting his family.
Oh, wow. That's right.
That's kind of cool.
That's right. Yeah, people have been asking me about, because you've done some Jane Addiction tours.
Mm-hmm.
And plan.
Well, me and Perry Farrell and Dave Navarro and Martijn, I guess, are going to try to get together in January.
January.
Yeah, I was going to say late this month or early February and see if we can write some songs. Because we can't do the old stuff anymore. We did that good.
Beating it up?
Yeah, we beat that in.
You're beating it up?
We're going to see if my fingers are crossed that we can come out with some good music and enjoy it too. So we're going to give it a try. We'd be fools not to try. So we're going to try. And hanging out with Pete DeStefano is always fun, because he's always kicking in the Porno for Pyros theme.
Right. Okay, we're at the end of the second hour, Watt for Pedro Show, January 11, 2002 edition. Hold tight, because hour three is coming right up. It's Watt from Pedro Show, hour three of the January 11, 2002 edition. Oops.
Good morning.
Machine is failing. No, it's not working, Brother Matt.
Pour yourself into the coffee.
No, it won't even kick out. Okay, here's some Richard Hell in the meantime. That's sorry right. about that.
Yeah! and lay the sea. And after 20 minutes yesterday, your grace on him to say, but when you're 20 minutes late, your fate is patient and will wait. There are skies by coin toss, love the born, a memory lost. I can't forget that triple cross. A distance, one man did. They all died by going tall. To love the form of memory lost. I can't forget that triple cross. He got the blues. He got the blues. He got the blues. Yeah. Loo, loo, loo. You got the blues. Woo! Yes, yes.
Watt from Pedro Show, some Stooges. Thank you, Brother Matt, for catching that squealer.
Who's on bass on that one?
Isn't that Ron Ashton?
Is it?
Don't you have the thing there?
No, I don't have the sleeve. Love that bass playing.
Yeah, I think it's Ron. They
switched.
You know, in those days, you got to understand, bass was like right field for a lot of rock bands.
Yeah, it's true.
Talking to Ron, you know, he feels he was demoted when he was moved from guitar to bass.
Yeah, yeah. But the bass lines kicked up with, you know, they sounded great when he jumped on.
Yeah, I mean, Davey Alexander was great,
yeah.
But he was dead. He told me a story about, you know, Bowie wants to make this Raw Power record, right? And so he goes over to England. And they try out all these English cats, Mata Hoople and these people, to play bass and drums, and no one could do it, so they flew Ron and Scotty over to do the sessions. And Dave took Ron to the airport, and he said, "Man, I don't know if I'm ever going to see you again." And Ron told me he never saw him again.
That was that.
He died. He kind of knew. He was drinking heavy. And neat bass lines. Rubbery. We're going to do it tomorrow night, right?
Well, yeah. Why?
House of Booge.
That's exactly. House of
Booge. But so, yeah, the Stooges, they moved to L.A., Hollywood, and Ron's in the band and wearing Nazi outfits.
Is the rhythm sections in England weren't digging in hard enough, or what was happening?
Yeah, they didn't like how they were playing. They only do one gig. And that's where all the pictures from Raw Powers. In fact, there's a lot of books out lately on the old punk scene, 70s, early 80s, hardcore, and before that, that they burn out of the glam. And there's one, I did interviews for a few of them. There's one on the L.A. scene called We Got the Neutron Bomb that Brendan Mullen did. And they talk with Brendan. I mean, this book starts like in 73, 74, and when the Stooges came out here, and Ron's talking about how it was in those days, and it's kind of bleak. Iggy was pretty chemically impaired a little bit. And, there's this one opera or something, piece that Iggy comes up. He has Ron wear the Nazi outfit and beat him. He put him in a sack and they carry him out of the club and they throw him in the gutter and beat him. I mean, it wasn't Ron's idea. This was part of the whole piece, you know. Yeah. And it was kind of a trippy thing. But yeah, Davey Alexander's bass line is really rubbery, really neat to play. But Ron, really good too.
Yeah.
Too bad about the Raw Power record. The mix is
unbelievable. What the hell happened there?
So Iggy remixed it a few years ago.
Where do you find that?
A lot of CDs ever. Well, CBS, Columbia put it out. So you can get it everywhere, and it's much different. But there's something endearing about that original one. The Bowie cocaine Jojo mix.
Did he unmix it to make it a point, or what the hell was he doing?
You know, they were buzzed out there. I don't know. I talked to Ron about it, and you know, they weren't, him and his brother weren't even there for the mix and stuff. But the reason I brought up those books, besides, you know, the little piece there, was in it I read Stan Lee, the guy who plays guitar for the Dickies. He's got that jacket that you see on the
dragon,
back of
the dragon jacket?
I think
it's a tiger or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, he got it in a drug deal. Iggy was trading everything for chemicals. And Stan Lee has got the Raw Power jacket.
That's great.
You know, and supposedly he sang through a little amplifier. And stripped. I don't know who's got the amp. Okay, we're going to play something from my old days. The first gig I went to was T-Rex in 71 here at the Long Beach Auditorium. It's gone now. It's, I think, the Opera House or something.
Yeah,
Long Beach Opera.
Yeah.
And, D. Wooden's daddy took us, and we're sitting there with his pop. You know, his pop's from Nebraska, you know, he's from Bakersville, via Nebraska. He'd never been to a rock. I mean, you know.
His pop either? Yeah.
No, his pop, D. Boone had, we were 14, I mean, but his pop definitely had been. Pop was really into Buck Owens. When I met D. Boone, he knew no rock.
Mm.
None. The only thing he'd heard is some Beatles and Creedence, so. This is why I wear flannels. This was a big. I mean, D. Boone had heard no Cream, no Who, any of this intense Jimi Hendrix, or, you know. So it was all I kind of turned him on to it. I had some eight tracks. You know, I said, hey, D-Bone, listen.
CCR.
Right. Well, the CCR is the big meeting point for us because he knew every one of the songs. I mean, talk about Chow on his records. I mean, he had grape juice and stuff. Oh, man, that was hilarious. And brother, little brother Joe Boone, he'd play. Now, you know, he'd play the drums, but not really a drum set. We lived in apartments, you know, so he would play a... he'd have a snare drum on the floor with a paperback book on it, and that'd be kind of the tom-tom. And then there'd be a little stand they held their TV on, and that would be the cymbals, little metal sand.
Yeah,
Kano, yeah. And so, anyway, T-Rex, my first rock. In those days, there was no merch. You'd go a gig, and nobody's selling shirts.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's selling posters. There'd be bootleg guys outside. The seats were $250. General Mission, okay. Show you how far back this. But there was a bootleg guy selling posters outside. And I guess he took the cover right Ride a White Swan and got rid of Mickey. It was just Mark Boland, so I'd buy this for $2. And this is the first rock guy on my wall, my first rock and roll hero. So there's been a plethora of stuff since. He didn't even make 30. He died just before he turned 30. His car wreck, his wife... doesn't make a turn. I went to the place. You can go to this pub. It's in London. What's on the other side of the Thames?
Yeah.
Thames. The big river there, okay? It runs through town. If you go on the south side, there's a pub where you last drank, and then they tell you.
He went for a drive.
They get very tired of probably telling people where this tree. You can go to the tree that killed him. They were in a little Mini Cooper, and it's all bent over, and there's all pinned up with stuff.
Mm.
We miss you, Fairy King. Yeah, maybe I've told this story before. But it was very intense for me to go there. Pilgrimage. a Hajj. Is that the word? When you go to the Kaaba in Mecca. It was like that, because... he was really intense on me. Anyway, a plethora of records since he's died, and they put out everything, stuff on the cassettes, whatever, demos he made. So we're going to play some of that, and we're going to play some Creedence.
Who needs TV when you got T-Rex?
Oh, yeah. Who's that? Well, Bowie wrote it for Mott the Hoople. Okay. some T-Rex. Watch the T-Rex show. Whoops. Wrong song.
We got a party going on.
Oh, God. We got a lot of...
We got fun. Iggy. We got Good God Dirt.
Well, what happened to the T-Rex? Oh, it's here. And the player won't let me... Hold on here. We'll get it together. The thing won't let me... play. We've had some not machine functions, most human ones. Okay, here's some T-Rex.
I went to the city boy blew my friends away. I'll get on the radio, bid them up to get all I knew. Rhythm and blues, give me all my new. Hey, ladies are as ladies be, change and change this finery. Ladies are as ladies be, change and change this finery. Hey, well, I went to the city ball, city ball blew my friends away. I went to the city boy, city boy blew my friends away.
Hey.
Watt from Pedro show. Perk, you want to tell us a story of that? That's me with Porno, right?
That's
there.
Right. Porno from Pyro is Mike Watt on bass. Well, there's a great story about that. We were recording up in a house near the beach, and we did that song in the kitchen. And we sat around the kitchen table, and I put the bass drum underneath the table, and I played my hands on the table. And we didn't really give Watt much, practice on that one. We just said, here's the song, let's try it. And we pressed record and put the red light on. And listening back, the bass line is really, it holds the whole tune together. But it was a good little...
Which is a trick, because I was the last guy.
Yeah, the last one to know about it.
I kind of followed the singing, you know, where Perry was going with the singing, because I didn't really know what was coming up. That was a trippy house.
Beautiful house up there. In
Zuma?
Yeah, New Zuma Beach, and I guess the Who lived there for a little bit.
The band?
The band, yeah.
They were in Robertson. I saw it in the CNET.
Yeah, that
they
movie...
They wrote with their name. Last Waltz.
Last Waltz. There's a couple scenes of the movie in there.
This is a horror house, Rick Danko.
Yeah, exactly. We had a great time.
It had a lot of little bedrooms.
Yeah. It was
kind of, maybe it was a brothel or something.
Got all these old
bedrooms. And then you guys had an album cover of a Clapton that was shot.
Right. Clapton did a record there, and they did a photo of her, the cover, in the house, and you sit in the room where the cover was taken. And it hasn't changed much.
So that's headquarters for a while then, huh?
Yeah, it was...
Well, the album was done there.
Yeah,
it was like the studio and live.
Uh-huh. It was a great experience.
From Pedro, who was 60 miles.
Yeah, and you know what? We tried to... I mean, our idea was maybe to be there for 6 months. We ended up there 18 months and got a little crazy, but... I love the record, listening back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We went through a lot of changes.
At least I didn't have the boat.
That's right.
I had the little blue truck that got wiped out.
The original bass player, Martijn, ended up quitting the band in the middle of that recording.
Oh, yeah.
And we were very fortunate. Watt came up, Flea came out, and a guy named David Jay from Love and Rockets and Bauhaus came up.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really cool to have all these different bass players, yeah, to come up and help us out.
I was on tour, and Roger called me up. The man.
Yeah, Roger Leonard.
Yeah. What's he been up to?
He started a Mexican restaurant in Oxnard.
Oh, wow.
Right near the beach.
Maybe that's why Pete's up in Camarillo.
Yeah, it's close to Roger.
Because they were Santa Monica.
Exactly.
Anyway, Roger calls me up. I'm on tour with my own thing. I think I was with Nell's crew of the Flying Saucer. He goes, look, we're recording. Why don't you fly back? And I said, bro, I've already committed. I'm in a tour. And stuff, but I was very honored. It was really a sweet playing with these guys. I learned so much playing with them.
And we ended up making it to Australia with that lineup, too.
That's right. And I'm wearing dresses. And you had some outfits made for you.
It was a wonderful
trip. What was that cat's name?
Sonny?
No, the guy who dressed us.
Oh, boy.
Juan Miguel.
Yeah. Something. Well, that's right.
Yeah, he comes into a room and sizes us up, you know, looks at us, and then he comes up. comes up with like some kind of Muslim doorman suit for me. And
did you? The record
Perk was insane. It was like red velvet football pants, a vest made out of light bulb chains, and then this hat with these big horns with glass grapes on the end of the horn.
Yeah, a little much.
Yellow daisy.
He had the cover of the record. He designed that orange.
Oh,
skirt made out of oranges.
Yeah.
Friend, yeah. So yeah, he uses food and light bulbs. He uses everything.
Yes.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Thanks, Juan.
Like he looked at Perk and said, "Well, this is what I see."
Yeah.
I mean, I could see him putting me into a.
And also, I'm behind the drum kit sitting. No one can see me anyway.
Velvet football pants, like old style football pants with the laces in the front. Oh man, it was an incredible outfit.
Ooh.
And Teej had kind of a caftan too.
I actually ran into Teej.
Had like hot pink gangster suit.
Yeah.
There were some wild costumes.
I ran into Tom TJ out in North Carolina a few months ago. It was good to see him.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good to see him. Sadness. Gave him a big hug, and he seems happy. He's at peace with himself and his things, and it's good to see him.
Lost his little girl.
Yeah. But, so that was the porno days up in Zuma. A lot of fun.
I thought there was a period where I thought we got the band. I think we did maybe 3 tours. Well, 2.5, full-on U.S., full-on Australia, New Zealand, and then part of the U.S. with the Enid and stuff.
That's right.
But it was kind of burning out maybe over that. That Pears boy, you know, for him to sing that high, it beats him up.
Yeah, those were rough days because the band, I think, the work ethics were a little shallow.
Like playing 3 days a week?
Yeah, it was tough.
I was going out of my mind. You know them limbile balls, health balls with balls in them? And I got really good at them.
Yeah, exactly. You had a lot of time.
And I read, like Don Quixote, and I mean, you're talking 700-800-page books. Umberto Eco, all this stuff. Really thick, dense reads because I had so much time on my hands compared to my tours. I was used to another thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll tell you, there was a point there, like maybe 2/3 of the way through that long U.S. tour where I thought the band was playing so good. It was really neat. But Pear was heavy on him. I mean, we'd be half hour into a set and he'd call last song. And man, it was so tragic for me because I really, really loved it. It was a very unique experience for me. I mean, I don't play in many other people's bands, and that band I thought was very unique.
We were honored that you joined up.
You guys.
We really were.
So much, taught me a lot.
And Pete DiStefano, the guitar player, he's quite a guy, and just to have Watt and Pete together, just a great time.
I got a lot of ideas for my opera. Yeah, I read Sam Pebbles, too. Sam Pebbles was Andy Boone's favorite movie as kids, the Steve McQueen movie. And I found the book, I'd be walking around. A lot of the hotels you guys use would be right downtown. Mm-hmm. So there'd be used bookstores. And I find the book by Richard McKenna, and I read it. I like the idea of Perry teaching me the songs by telling me the story. You know, most cats tell you the chords.
Tells
me the story of the
song. That's true. That's how Perry does it, even on the new stuff and the old Jane stuff. What's the lyrics about? And we'll go from there. You know, what's he singing
about? That's a great idea because I got to thinking, maybe I should tell my story. And so I got the whole idea of my opera from my experience with porno.
Beautiful.
You know what? Because after a while, you just become a technocrat, just notes and keys and riffs and all this stuff, modes, and so maybe it's more important the stuff behind all the technical stuff, so you can make it breathe with or you end up just doing fusion or something.
Good point.
Look at how fast I can play.
So
the story is very important, and this is one of the big lessons I learned from porno. And also, I got to play with Mr. Stephen Perkins,
one
of the best drummers ever.
Thanks.
So we played that song there. It ended up the title track.
That's right.
So great. And before that, we played Creedence off Cosmos Factory. We were laughing at the Cosmos Factory record cover. I mean, John Fogerty in a flannel and leather pants. And Doug Clifford. Doug Clifford, 16-inch hi-hats.
I know. He's got crash eyes up there.
Like a warm-up suit on a bicycle. What a suit.
Jump suit thing.
They have a 10-speed bicycle next to the drum kit.
Little jumpsuit.
Yeah, it's a bizarre band. They were bizarre. But we played Looking Out My Back Door. One of the best things ever happened to me was why that song was going. Almost like D. Boone came down to visit me for a little bit. Yeah, it was. I was helping out. This is the only other time I really helped somebody. I helped Jay with Fog.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Central Park. Evan was getting married. It was a bizarre thing. And anyway, before that, we started with T-Rex and some demo thing he made. It's called City Port. And it's funny, the CD sleeve. Who gave me these? These aren't the original records. Like I was saying, a lot of his stuff has been, everything he ever touched now has been released,
Right, that's due to Hendrix, too, now.
And, right, same kind of thing, where everything, probably Kurt Cobain, So, right now there's a war. You know about this? Yeah, fucking Courtney.
Terrible, what is she thinking?
I don't know. But anyway, it says City Port, Fast Punk. Guess this is
that's
the past
version.
Punk version. But Mark Bolan, in the early set. Who gave me these things, though? Because these aren't the real... Yeah, I haven't bought records in a long time.
Yeah.
Black Cats gave me...
Yeah, I haven't gone to a shop.
You know what? I think this is when I was sick, and Elizabeth sent me all these records. A lot of people sent me stuff when I was sick. And, of course, I get stuff from kids on the road, which is great. I think that's where I got this English Soft Hearts and the Mid Bang Lounge and stuff. Okay, we're going to play some Sex Pistols. Yeah.
jogador, joga bola, corocondô.
Joga bola, jogador, joga bola, corocondô.
Here, 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 jogador, here, 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 corocondô.
Here, 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 jogador.
set?
The record's called Big Bang, and it's a three CD set
of different drums and drum solos and from around the world.
And that was we were going into the next track there.
Yeah, exactly. The first piece was a water drum piece, an African tribe in a river pounding away some rhythms in the water.
Yeah, it was a trip, and we don't know the name of the tribe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call you on that one.
Yeah, or the name of the tune.
No, I think they call it water drums on the CD. It just says water drums.
It was trippy.
Yeah.
I dig that. Before that, we had some Bad Brains with Band in D.C. Tried to get up a big takeover, but the machine wouldn't read it.
Just want to do it.
Temperamental.
Yeah. Must be, I'm vibing it out with some weirdness.
I love that recording. The Roar session.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah. That, quite a band. And before that, we heard Tom Zay.
That's right. A Brazilian piece.
Umba Rumba?
Umba La Rumba.
Right.
And that's a great
another compilation, right?
Yeah, it's a cool pop tune, but to me, it's got a lot of earth-shattering rhythms in it for popular music.
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And we started off with some Sex Pistols off of EMI 45, I Wanna Be Me.
Can't find that anywhere.
No. Okay, here's some John Cale, Fighter Pilot, Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. our adventures. Yeah. We'll leave you to take care of the devil's side. Maybe we're down the joy for us.
Hey, why isn't there no... There's no volume. One, two. One. Oh, sorry about that. I hit the wrong fucking knob.
Put it that way.
Anyway, one minute left, like the man said... what's his name? Anyway, that was the International Noise Conspiracy Live, some gig they opened for us in Detroit. Before that, John Cale, fighter pilot. Stephen Perkins, thank you so much, Perk, for being with us. Brother Matt, for your most essential assistance. Bought from Pedro Show, end of the third hour. Ready to put it to bed, January 11, 2002 edition. Thanks for everybody sailing with us, Perk. It was
thanks again,
truly a pleasure.
Thank you.
And tomorrow we have our Stooges thing, huh?
Yeah.
And then we get back, we record some banging, we do some banging gigs.
That's a bouge.
Yeah, me and you doing a lot of playing. Brother Matt next week.
Cool.
I think we're going to have Nels.
Cool.
So all you folks, keep your powder dry.